Good evening. This is the first time I've spoke this year, so but I really appreciate all the prayers on my behalf and my family's behalf. And it seems like January was just a blur, and like I said, we spent a lot of time being sick, so thank you for the prayers. But yeah, it's good to be back with you and good to bring you the message this evening. I want us to look at, we'll be looking at just a few characters this evening. The lesson tonight is, what will I be doing on my last day? What will I be doing on my last day? Do you ever think about that question? Do you think about that? Well, this is something we all think about, but not really know the answer of when until it happens. So in this lesson, we're going to look at some characters in the Bible to see what they were doing on their last days. We think of the story about Cain and Abel. And out of jealousy, Cain killed Abel. Cain killed Abel. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, Hebrews 11 and verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his faith, his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Through Abel's faith, even from the grave, he is counted as faithful. Cain had a chance to tell the truth, but he chose to lie. Cain chose to lie. In Genesis 4 and verse 9, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 9, then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Jealousy caused Cain to murder his own brother. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." You know, it's okay to be angry, but we must not sin in our own anger. And that's easier said than done, because we sometimes just fly off at the handle with what we say, and sometimes our actions aren't what we need to do. But we must deal with our anger and make sure that we don't hurt or harm those around us. Even God gets angry. Even God gets angry. In Numbers chapter 32 and verse 13, Numbers chapter 32 and verse 13, "And the Lord's anger was rekindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was gone." This was their punishment. This was their punishment. So Abel did not know that he was going to die. He didn't know he was going to die that day. But at least he died as faithful. He died as faithful. And in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, you know, and before we read that, in Revelation 2 and verse 10, we talk about the steps of salvation. Like I said, they're all important. But this last part is probably the hardest thing to do. In Revelation 2 and verse 10, the last part of Revelation 2 and verse 10, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." That's the tough part, is that remaining faithful. And Abel proved that by the sacrifice that he gave to God. Second thought this evening is Lot's wife. Let's talk about Lot's wife a little bit. In Genesis chapter 19, let's look at verses 23 through 26. Genesis 19, verses 23 through 26. "The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah and sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew the cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back. She became a pillar of salt." She didn't know that she was going to die that day either. She didn't know that. None of us know. In James chapter 4, verse 14. James 4 and verse 14, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." But many of us, we plan, but we don't know what day we're going to no longer be here. We don't know that. We just need to be prepared. We are only here for a short time, so hopefully we are preparing for something better. We must keep that in mind. But the only thing that Lot's wife did was that she looked back. She just looked back, and it cost her her life. You know, our duty as Christians is to look ahead and not look in the past. Our past can bother us if we allow it. If we allow it to, we were all once sinners, and if we've been baptized, Jesus' blood continually washes us clean as long as we repent and turn back to God, and we can be thankful for that. But we understand that sin separates us from God. It separates us from God, and we don't want to be separated from God. We shouldn't want that. But Lot's wife, she made a choice. And she turned back instead of looking forward. Had she not looked back, she would have been with Lot and she would have been saved. But we can learn from our past. We can learn from our past not to make those mistakes again. We all have a past that we're not proud of, but we can be thankful that we came out of it a changed person and hopefully for the better. We must remember that we live in the now. We live now, and the past has already happened. We look forward to a heavenly life. God changes us if we allow him to do so. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, Romans 12 and verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We must be renewed each and every day as we transform into stronger Christians than we were yesterday. You know, Satan, he's out to change us. He's out to change us to follow him, but he will only lead us to destruction. He will only lead us to destruction. We must stay away from the world and not allow the world to influence us and take us away from our mission, which is in Matthew 28, verse 19, familiar verse, Matthew 28:19, go therefore, make disciples all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Point number three this evening, we're going to talk about two people here, Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. Neither one knew the consequence of their choice. They didn't know that. In Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? Verse 4, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. You know, he should have told the truth. He should have told the truth, but he made the choice to lie, and he was selfishly. He did that selfishly. You know, we get one chance. It's this thing we call life. We get one shot. And we should do it. We should do things the right way, God's way. Ananias was struck dead after his decision to lie. Like I said, that's not the way to go. That's not the way that we want to go. We want to be right in God's eyes. He's the only one that matters. Ananias was trying to satisfy self instead of God. Now let's look at Sapphira in Acts 5, let's look at verses 8 through 10 there. Verses 8 through 10. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead. They carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Sapphira also had a chance to tell the truth, but she chose to lie as well. and it cost her her life. She didn't know that was going to be it. She had no clue that that was going to be it for her. They both lied to God, and that was all for them. But we definitely don't want to go down that road, down the road they took. It teaches us to be honest with God, and we need to be honest with ourselves. In Psalm 86 and verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. And also in John 4 and verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. God wants us to be truthful no matter the cost. It's better to tell the truth than it is to lie. And in Proverbs 12 and verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. That paints a picture for us about lying. We must practice the truth because it sets us free. We wish that Ananias and Sapphira would have done right. We wish that. They had choices just like we do, and words and what we say will be judged. Next person we're going to talk about Stephen. We're going to talk about Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Acts 7, dealing with the stoning of Stephen there. Stephen was still preaching when he died. He was still preaching when he died. He had a big heart for the people. In Acts chapter 7, let's look at verses 58 through 60. Verses 58 through 60. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That was Stephen's last day. That was his last day. He was preaching Christ, and it made the people angry, so they killed him. But what we learned from earlier in that chapter, he was rebuking them. He was trying to get them to turn back to God, and that's what he was trying to do. Even in verse 51 of chapter 7, he even called them a stiff-necked people. Called them stiff-necked. But not everyone will want to hear the gospel. But no matter the cost, we must preach the word. We must preach the word. It's up to the person or persons when they want to obey God's word. But Stephen was murdered for preaching the truth. He was murdered for preaching the truth. These people didn't like the truth that he was preaching. But many people, they don't like to hear the truth. They don't like to hear it. They want to believe what they want instead of all of God's word. You know, it's easy to take a scripture and twist it around to fit some belief. The scriptures, what we know about scriptures, well, they've already been perfected. They've already been perfected. They don't need to be tampered with. In Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. We must believe that the Bible is the only truth. We need, it doesn't matter what others may think that it says. We can always go to the Bible for any situation that we may come across. Stephen did not know that he was going to die that day, but he was well prepared. He was well prepared. Faithful until death. Faithful until death. He also asked God to forgive them. That's a love for souls. That is a love for souls. Even though he preached the truth, it cost him his life. You know, if we don't teach the truth, you know, what does the future of the church look like if we don't preach the truth? You know, but Stephen, what we know about Stephen, he stepped up to the plate no matter the cost. He stepped up to the plate. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. We need people on fire for the truth. We need people on fire for the truth. We can't be afraid to teach the truth. We can't be afraid of it. Itching ears will get us in trouble, though. These days, there's so many beliefs that are out there, but they aren't built on biblical truths. They're built on man's beliefs. But what we know about man is that man can lead us astray. Man can lead us astray. Some put their preachers on a pedestal, and they may start that phrase, and I've heard this many times. This is what my preacher said. They don't say, well, this is what the Bible says. You know, they put their preacher on that pedestal, and if the preacher says it, that's it. That must be the right thing. But the Bible is what we use. It's always true. The Bible is always true. We can be thankful for Stephen and his example for us to follow, though. The last one we're going to talk about is Christ. Christ is our prime example. In Luke chapter 23, let's look at verses 33 and 34. Luke 23, verses 33 and 34. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. Same attitude as Stephen, just about. But he asked for forgiveness for the people. Christ knew that he was... The only difference is Christ knew he was going to die. Christ knew he was going to die, and he was trying to prepare the world for what was to come. In Luke 23 and verse 46, then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. He had a mission that he had to fulfill so that we could have forgiveness of sins. Christ gave his all for us. Now, what can we give him? What can we give him? Well, we must be thankful for his sacrifice, because without it, we have nothing. Without Jesus' sacrifice, we have nothing. Jesus also died still teaching. Still teaching. We don't ever reach an age where we stop teaching and stop learning about Christ. If we have an opportunity to teach, we should take it. We should take it. It might be the only chance that that person gets to hear the truth. Christ showed us what love is all about. He showed us what love is all about. He didn't just say it, but he showed it. In 1 Corinthians 13, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but I want to look at a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians 13, look at verse 8. We're going to look at verse 8 and verse 13. Verse 8 says, love never ends. Love never ends. We definitely saw that through Christ. God's love for us is unending, and he shows us patience toward us. He shows his patience toward us. Now let's look at verse 13. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. God loves us even though we fail. He loves us even though we fail. He wants us to never give up and stay faithful to him all the way to our death. He wants us to be faithful to our death. Christ was the only perfect person that ever walked this earth and never sinned. In Mark 14, verse 38, Mark 14, verse 38, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, we saw some characters who were faithful until death. We saw some characters, but we also saw some characters that were not. But none of us know what we will be doing on our last day. The most important thing that we can do is to be prepared. Is that we can be prepared each and every day. God knows that we're weak, but he will be there to help us when we fail and ask for forgiveness. It's never too late to obey the gospel. Just don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Go ahead and take care of it tonight if you need to. If you know what you must do, like I said in the very beginning, what if today was your last day? Just something to think about. Are you ready? Are you prepared? I want to close tonight with Psalm 40 and verse 16. Psalm 40 and verse 16. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, "Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord." Tonight, if you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a child of God and you've walked away or you're struggling, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation.